Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Hey, fellow truth seekers, I'm Justin.
And I'm Brandy, and together we'll be your guides on this spine-tingling journey through the unknown.
We dive headfirst into the eerie realms of cryptids, from Bigfoot to Loch Ness Monster.
And hold on tight, because we'll explore spine-chilling encounters with extraterrestrial beings and UFO sightings that will leave you questioning what's really out there.
Beyond the Shadows is not your average paranormal podcast. Our goal is simple: to shed light on the shadows that haunt our world and confront the unexplained with an open mind.
And for the skeptics, don't worry, we have something for you too. Our conspiracy theories will challenge your beliefs and make you question everything. So, if you're fascinated by the paranormal, yearn for chilling true crime stories, or crave the adrenaline rush of uncovering conspiracies,
join us on this hair-raising adventure as we journey beyond the shadows.
Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hey there, true crime fans. I'm Karina.
And I'm Lockie.
And if you're like us and you can't get enough of those spine-tingling crime stories,
join us every week on our podcast where we dive into the latest cases and chat about everything from mysterious murders to perplexing disappearances.
But hey, don't expect us to be super serious about it. We're just two friends who love talking crime over a cup of coffee.
Absolutely. So if you're looking for a true crime podcast that feels like you're hanging out with your friends, give us a listen.
Caffeine Crime and Canines is available on most podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
See you there.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. How are you doing today, Declan?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
What story do you have for us?
I have a story that is about a couple of holes. Sounds terrible to say it that way, but
okay. It can be interpreted in a couple different ways.
Exactly. But this is just some like weird thing that a guy tells a story about, and yeah, we'll get to it. But it's about a big hole in the ground. Basically.
Oh, okay. Like a sinkhole?
Kind of, maybe. Maybe not.
We'll find out.
Yeah. How about you? What are you telling us about today?
I'm going to be talking about Armin Mewis. It's a German Mewis? Name, so it's hard to pronounce, but yeah.
Oh, maybe it's Mewis.
Probably actually Mewis, since they pronounce their W's.
As V's.
V's. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Knock half that W off.
Right.
And to go with that story, I have The Cannibal. So, might be able to figure out what this story's about. But The Cannibal is 1 ounce of tequila, 2 ounces of white grape juice, and 2 to 5 drops of grenadine.
Okay.
Doesn't sound good.
It does not sound good. It sounds... terrible.
I like white grape juice, but I don't think tequila is going to go well with it.
And you like tequila. I don't like tequila. So yeah. Right there, I'm in a hole.
This one's probably going to be a flop.
Okay, let's see.
No, not really good.
Nah, it's not great.
I wouldn't make it again.
No, not really. The tequila doesn't actually come on super strong, but I kind of feel like white grape juice and tequila have a similar kind of...
palate almost.
Yeah, tangy, like, dryness to
it's
them.
Not like... Yeah, dry, that's the word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it needs like a little pop of citrus. That's
yeah,
it needs that, but
yeah,
not horrible.
Not a winner.
No. Okay, let's get into this story.
Okay.
Armin was born in 1961 in West Germany. Armin was about 8 when his father left the family. Armin liked to spend his time reading books, and he became fascinated with one book in particular, The Brothers Grimm, which you guys probably heard of. It's a fairly popular folklore book.
Right.
The Brothers Grimm was a folklore book that contained spooky and strange stories. He really enjoyed one story in particular, though, and that was Hansel and Gretel, which I didn't realize that was a Brothers Grimm story, but makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, it is. But
pretty dark.
If you don't know about Hansel and Gretel, it's a story of two kids that get abducted by a witch in a house made of candy. The witch then tries to cook and eat the kids. This
I would
a weird
easily,
idea.
I would easily fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Because I love candy.
I'd just
so
be
much.
Confused. I'd be, how do you build this? What do you use for insulation? Cotton candy?
Exactly.
This story put a weird idea in Armin's head. Armin wanted to try human flesh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Apart from this, he was a fairly normal kid. He graduated high school and picked up another fascination, computers. He enjoyed tinkering with them, which ultimately led to him becoming a computer repairman. Armin moved to Rottenburg when he was an adult, which that's, I would not want to move to a place called Rottenburg.
No, that's kind of, I wonder if it smells there.
Probably does after Armin moved.
Smells. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, on his free time, Armin would participate in online forums about extreme fetishes and cannibalism. In May of 2001, Armin made a post on his favorite forum called Cannibal Cafe.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is Lulu doing behind you?
She's playing with herself.
She's wound up today. She's bouncing around and jumping.
She got caught on my bed, like both arms extended with the claws caught in the blanket.
Oh,
she
no.
looked like a prisoner.
That's funny.
Okay, anyways.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Armin posted on the Cannibal Cafe, and the post stated, looking for a well-built 15 to 25-year-old to be slaughtered and consumed.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Strangely, several people responded to this. Yeah, they were volunteering themselves. However, ultimately, a majority of them decided not to go through with it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If they all flaked on him, then we wouldn't have this story. So
true.
One person did respond. A 43-year-old named Brandis, 43-year-old named Bernd Brandis contacted him about this post. He said he wanted to be slaughtered and eaten, but he would also like to eat himself in the process.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
No!
Which, it's a chunk of you is cut off. I couldn't understand eating right away.
Good.
On March 9th, 2001, Brands arrived at Armin's house. Without much delay, Armin broke out the video camera and made Brands declare that he was willingly doing this to hopefully exonerate himself of the crime. Like, look, this guy confessed that he wants me to kill and eat him, so I'm going to do that. I didn't murder him. He wanted to be killed.
He wanted it.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But Armin didn't turn off the camera. He wanted to film the full thing.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Brance took about 20 sleeping pills and washed it down with a bottle of cough syrup. Brance started by asking Armin to bite off his penis. What's up with cannibals and eating penises?
I don't.
This isn't the first time.
No.
Armin got down and tried his hardest to bite his penis off, but was unsuccessful. It's probably like trying to cook, like chew on an uncooked squid. Like, squid's probably already pretty chewy.
So. Yeah. Oh, geez. It reminds me of a hot dog that Dad recently bought at the meat store.
A hot dog with
casing. The casing on it was so tough. It was like chewing bubble gum. It was terrible. I couldn't even get the fork in it. I was like, what is happening? So I'm
gross.
Just picturing this. Oh, he's like gnawing on it.
Ugh, yeah.
Gross.
Just, his plan B was to cut it off with a knife, as well as some of Brand's fat. He then rendered the fat over the stove and tossed the penis in with some salt, pepper, wine, and garlic.
Well, I mean, he's being gourmet about it.
Yeah.
Is the victim alive still as his penis is cooking?
He's watching him just cook his penis off.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, this is
However,
terrible.
Armin burned the penis so it was inedible.
Turn the heat down, bro.
I'm too excited. At this point, Brands was about to bleed out, so Armin brought him to the bathtub and went to go read a book for a while Brands fully bled out. After a while, Armin came in, stabbed Brands in the throat to ensure he was dead. Armin then hung him on a meat hook.
No.
He proceeded to decapitate and dismember Brands. He stored Brands in his freezer to save for later.
Well, yeah, you don't want that to go bad. You just put in all that effort. Oh, Lord.
The entire process was recorded on a 4-hour-long video.
Oh, my God.
Armin waited a little over a year before making another post on the forums. In December 2002, a college student came across one of his posts and alerted the authorities. Police arrived at Armin's house later that day where they discovered Brand's body, but Armin had already eaten about 40 pounds of Brand's before he had been discovered. Because it had been a whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was just taking snacks. Maybe he perfected his penis recipe, I don't know.
Yeah, he realized he had to turn the heat down.
Gotta do a low simmer.
Yeah, he's got it in a slow cooker.
Armin waited 2 years on trial before he was given a manslaughter charge because of Brand's confession or consent to everything that happened.
Yeah.
But only a year later, in 2005, Armin was retried and convicted of murder. This came with a life sentence for Armin.
Wow.
And that's the story of a consensual cannibal.
Oh.
That's a fucking weird story. That's almost a bizarre story. Like, that's so weird.
It is weird. It's super brutal, though. Did the victim get to taste himself? Because that's what he said he wanted, right? To taste his own.
He didn't.
He didn't get it before
he got
killed?
He didn't get to taste any of it. Because it was all burnt, so.
Oh, right. I mean, right. And by the time he got it, it was burnt. He'd bled out.
He was basically dead, yeah.
Good gravy. That is.
No, it's really fucking gross.
It is. So nasty. Oh.
Well, maybe your story about holes will cheer us up.
Oh, my God. Well, let's. Try. We'll find out here.
It's just
shortly.
Such a weird story. I can't. It makes me laugh just because of how fucking weird it is.
Yeah, he originally wanted somebody 15 to 25, but then this 40-something-year-old guy's like, I'll do it. And he's like, okay.
He's like, whatever.
Sure.
You'll do.
Yeah, exactly. He's waited too long, so It's the bear goggles at the end of the night.
Yeah.
You're looking around and you're like, all I have left is
this.
Options
here are slim.
Exactly. Yeah. Take what I can get. Oh my word.
Yeah, it must have been fairly fat too if he was able to cut a chunk of it off and render it. That's
that is
at least he used like proper cooking techniques. He just had the heat too high.
Yeah. Oh. I think I'm gonna be eating like for dinner. I'm gonna go for like pasta or something. I don't think I'm gonna be no meat for me the rest of the day. Nasty. Where do you find all these cannibal things? I don't ever come across cannibal stuff. It feels like.
I feel like it's easier to find that than it is like just some random hometown murder. Like murders happen all the time that you don't really know about unless they're this shocking.
That's true.
Like if that had happened stateside, I think everyone in the fucking world would know about
it. Yeah, I would be curious.
It'd be 14 documentaries.
Like what kind of sentence he'd get here.
I think they'd probably still look at it as murder.
But there might be like a mental component to it, you know? Like his kind of mental health defense.
I don't think, because that's hard to prove, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Either way, it's gross.
Because he's not technically a victim since he wanted to be killed and eaten, but like still someone died.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, essentially he committed suicide.
Yeah. Suicide by cannibal. That's a.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be the first ever in history.
Probably. Well, I don't know. Ugh. I don't want to think about it.
Super weird.
It is gross. That's gross. Okay, let's talk about bizarre holes in the earth. So, we're going back to Washington State for another weird tale, because Washington State apparently is full of bizarre shit. And this one is, you know, I don't know what's going on in Washington. I mean, we're Pacific Northwest as well, but I feel like there's just something weird going on in the Pacific Northwest, whether it's Washington or Oregon.
Definitely.
Yeah. Weird shit's happening. So we've had anywhere from the infamous robberies to mysterious missing hikers. We had the bizarre goo story recently. So, you know, like I said, weird shit's going on up here. This time, though, we're going to be talking about a hole, like I mentioned before. And yes, I did say hole. In general, I'd say holes are pretty boring, but this hole is not your average hole. And I hate the fact that I have said that word so many times because it just loses meaning.
Like, in the middle of my story, I said the word Armit. I said his name so many fucking times. I'm sure people are getting mad at me. Just call him him, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, your guy's name and my whole story. I'm just going to keep saying whole. So if people don't like the word whole, too bad. You're going to get to hear a lot of it. So in 1997, a man named Mel Waters called into a radio show called Coast to Coast AM. He had a very interesting story to share. Mel said he owned some property outside of Ellensburg, Washington. On the property is a big, deep, mysterious hole. He further described the pit as having an opening about 9 feet in diameter, with the walls opening around it, and that the walls of the opening were lined with bricks about 15 feet down, and then it transitioned to dirt, implying that
a well.
Obviously, kind of sounded like a well. But it didn't stick up above the ground. So it was 15 feet down, that there were
bricks.
It was
just a fucking booby trap.
Yeah. So according to Mel, he didn't know that the pit existed on the property when he purchased it. So he buys this property and he's walking around it and he stumbles on this pit in the middle of it. However, once he found it and started speaking with locals, his neighbors and such, he realized it had been there for a very long time. There were stories about the hole going back decades, including tales about animals avoiding the pit and how it had been used as a dumping ground by people living nearby. So basically, people just knew that this hole existed and they would just throw their trash in it. But okay. The odd thing was that no matter how much people were using it as a dumping ground and throwing things inside, the pit never seemed to fill up. So they're just throwing shit in the hole, and then they would have expected over decades that it would
disappear? Or like,
yes. According to Mel, people were throwing shit in there and never saw the light of day of these things again. And it never approached
the opening.
Sounds like
Outer Range.
Yes.
Which they made a season 2 of recently, and I haven't watched.
Yes. Spoiler alert. I'm going to talk about that later. So one day, Mel decided to test the depth of the pit. He explained on the radio show about how he took a weight attached to fishing line and a fishing pole. Lowering the line into the hole, he expected the line to go slack when the weight finally hit the bottom. 80,000 feet, or more than 15 miles later, the line never went slack, and Mel believed the pit was, in fact, bottomless. So he said that he tied 80,000 feet worth, or 15 miles worth of fishing line together and dropped it in the hole.
Jesus. What the fuck?
Yes. Mel discussed how his dogs refused to go near the hole. They would dig their feet into the dirt and resist being taken anywhere close while on their leash. They were like, we're not going there. You can't make us. We don't want to do it. A neighbor claimed that he deposited his deceased dog down in the pit. That man also reported that his dog soon returned to him, running through the woods alive and well.
Oh, it is out of range.
Maybe.
That's exactly what happened, but with a guy.
But so. This is in 1990s. So maybe it sparked the idea of outer range. I don't know.
It sounds so similar.
Very, yes. The animal stories don't end there either. According to Mel, he decided to lower a sheep into the pit. Mel said that he lowered the sheep and then pulled it back out to find a very strange thing. The animal, remember I said animals don't like to go there, so he had to drug the animal so that he could get the sheep near the hole. But the sheep was still alive until he brought it back out of the hole. The sheep was dead. And it appeared, according to him, that it had been cooked from the inside out. More bizarre cooking things on this episode today. We should just call this the weird cooking show episode.
Sent that sheep to hell, sounds like.
Yeah.
This is getting burned down in hell.
Yeah. And there was something inside of it moving. So Mel cut the animal open and found a very strange animal emerge from the deceased inside out cooked sheep. He described it as looking like a baby seal, but with human eyes. Yeah.
Don't like that at all.
Agreed. I don't like that either. Terrified by the animal, he threw it back in the hole. Hopefully, he would never have to see it again. So,
was it like hot? Is that what cooked the sheep?
I don't know. It wasn't.
Not hot enough for him to pick it up and throw it in the hole, but weird.
Yeah. I don't know. Mel told his neighbors about the strange-looking creature, and several claimed that they had seen something similar around the mouth of the pit before. Mel had heard there was another pit in Nevada, so he went there to see what he could find. Stories about the Nevada Pit were similar in nature. However, people reported seeing birds circling over the opening of this pit. The species of the birds could not be identified, though. So there's just some weird breed of bird circling around this hole in the Nevada desert. Mel heard about it and he's like, I gotta go check this out.
We take the hole and we use it as a landfill. We throw all of our garbage down there because it just disappears, it seems like.
Right, it just disappears because it's 80,000 feet deep. It's 15 miles.
Then we wouldn't have giant dumps everywhere. So
Right, gotta think about these things. Mel wanted to get a closer look at the birds. According to him, he attempted to shoot the birds, but the bullets seemed to ricochet off of them. So bulletproof birds of an unknown species flying around in the air.
Maybe he's just a bad shot.
Right, exactly. He's just shooting and it's going off to Never Never Land. One day back in Washington, Mel tried to go to the hole, but was prevented by people working for the U.S. government, claiming that a plane had gone down in the area and they were there to investigate. Mel challenged their story, which suddenly changed. What?
Wasn't this on his property?
It's on his property. And so,
a big property, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't really see like if there was a description of how many acres or, you know, how big the property was or anything like that. But he gets there and he's prevented from approaching, getting near the hole by government agents. And they go, oh yeah, plane went down. We're here investigating. You can't go near it. And he's like, no, plane went down. And then they suddenly change the story. And they're like, okay, a plane didn't go down, but we want to lease the property from you. And the condition of the lease was that he had to leave the country. So they go, we want to rent your land, but you got to get out. You can't just like move to another state. You have to like get out of the country. And he's like, sounds good. So he took their offer and he moved to Australia for several years. But when he returned to the when he returned, the government agents claimed that the lease was actually a purchase and he no longer owned the land where the pit was located. Confused by the situation.
The government lying.
It's such a wild story. Mel spoke with some of the locals who told him that helicopters and guards were now preventing entrance to the hole. So I guess they couldn't go dump their trash there anymore. Mel could no longer gain access to his property or the pit. He called into the radio show several times telling his story, which piqued a lot of people's interest. As of course it would. I mean, if I heard this story, I'd be like, ooh, let's go check it out. People who were truly curious about what was going on in Washington started doing some digging. They wanted to find the location of the hole so they could visit it for themselves. As would I. They found, although I'm not putting a sheep in it because I don't want to see that weird seal thing. And I'm not going
to. Getting a GoPro and tying it to a rope and tossing it down
right,
there.
Right. For sure. That's probably why people are still interested in it, because they're like, oh, technology today, we could find out what's going on down there.
Real fast.
Put a drone in, you know?
Yeah.
They found that there was never anyone owning property in the county by the name of Mel Waters. So everybody's looking for this hole, and they're like, well, we'll just find out where he owns property. And then they go, oh, yeah, nobody by that name owns any land in this county.
That's suspicious.
Further, there wasn't anyone by that name working or voting or paying taxes there. Mel Waters didn't appear to exist.
Government killed him. They wiped them of this.
They did. They wiped out every piece of information about him. Maybe he was using a fake name, or maybe it was all just a big fat lie. So,
was his name Mike Waters?
Mel Waters.
That does sound like a fake name.
Could be. Geologic experts were consulted about the possibility of something similar to what Mel described. Experts say that a hole that deep could not exist. Just wasn't possible. because the walls would have caved in on itself due to the pressure of the surrounding ground. They also said the story of the fishing line was impossible because the heat from the earth, just the surrounding earth itself, would have snapped the line before it ever reached 80,000 feet. So they're like, no. So what about Mel's story about the Nevada pit, though? So there is, in fact, a known pit in Nevada. It's called the Devil's Hole. It sounds ominous, but there doesn't appear to be any fanciful stories about it like Mel explained. Like, I couldn't find anything. It exists. There's record of it. It's actually located in Death Valley National Park in Nevada. I wasn't able to find any description of the weird birds other than his claims. There were no claims about animals fearing the opening, anything like that. So all the weird stories about Devil's Hole in Nevada was all coming from Mel. So fishy. Funny. I did not intend that. Devil's Hole is water-filled and contains a unique species of fish. The water in the hole can be seen from the opening and is a constant 93 degrees Fahrenheit, which is...
hot tub action down there.
Right. It's warm. There's one similarity, and the true depth of Devil's Hole is unknown. Part of the water-filled cavern has been mapped, but divers have not been able to locate the bottom. In 1965, a teenager went into the cave to go scuba diving, but he never returned. So this kid jumps in, and he doesn't come back. So one of his friends goes in looking for him, and he also doesn't come back. So now they're like, shit. A couple of rescue attempts are made, but were not successful at locating the bodies. The divers have never been recovered. One of the rescue missions, a diver already several hundred feet under the surface, dropped a weighted line to over 900 feet, and it never reached the bottom. The water-filled cavern has been called the Infinity Room and is estimated over 1,200 feet deep from the surface of the top of the ground. So they know that it's at least 1,200 feet, but they don't know exactly how deep it is because they can't go look. Subsequent explorations have noted that the area is more of a narrow tube rather than a large room, though. But the bottom of the tube has not been visualized, so the actual depth is likely much greater than estimated. Devil's Hole has a cave adjacent to it, known as Devil's Hole Cave. They're not very creative with their names, but that's fine. The cave is shaped like a boot with a long vertical shaft, and at the toe area is a pool of water. It's theorized that there may be an underwater passage between Devil's Hole and the cave, but it's not been proven. The unique fish that I mentioned that lives in Devil's Hole is called the pupfish. It's the world's rarest fish. The pupfish is listed as critically endangered species, which means no further exploration of the cave is allowed at this time. Genetic studies show the fish are likely as old as the opening of the cave itself, which is about 60,000 years old. How they can figure that out, I don't know, but that's what the scientists are saying, that these fish are 60,000 years old in their genetic makeup. Yeah. And it's literally the only place in the world that they are found in their little
Devil's Hole out of there.
Yeah. The main thing that Devil's Hole and Mel's Hole have in common is the unknown depth. However, the big difference between them is that Devil's Hole is actually known on a map and you can find it. Mel's Hole doesn't have any map associated with it. Many theorize that it never existed and it was just a big story of a man wanting attention for his wild tale. And that is a story about...
I was going to say, like, it seems like these holes are kind of common because there's a bunch of them, like the Great Blue Hole in Belize.
Yeah.
And that's like... That's 420 meters deep, I think. I don't know. There's a couple of them like all across. So, I mean, it is, it seems like that it's just something that happens, but his was lined with bricks, you said, right?
Yeah. Like the first 15 feet down from the soil surface.
That's suspicious.
Supposedly lined with bricks, indicating that there was some handmade component to it. But yet it cannot be located on a map. No one knows where it is. No one. Yeah, it's super sketchy.
Super weird.
Yep. So, my chaser is that season two of Outer Range is out, and we binged it, and it's really good.
It's good. Is it as good as the first one?
Okay, so the first one, we started like season two, and you know, they do the recap, and we're watching it, the recap, going, I don't remember any of this. So we went back and watched the last two episodes of season one just to refresh. And it's really good. There's some good twists and turns, and there's some points where you go, what the fuck just happened? I do not know what's going on. Yeah.
That whole show just is like very much like that, though.
It is. It's really good. I liked it. Okay. So looking forward to season three. Yeah. I think you'll like it. I know you like the first season.
That show came out like before COVID, I feel. So maybe. Or maybe was it 2022?
I don't know. It might have been 22 when it came out. I can't remember, but it definitely, I had to go back and get the refresher. I didn't want to rewatch the entire season, so I feel like the last two episodes got me refreshed enough where I wasn't super confused. But if I had just started watching season two without going back, I probably would have been really confused. Yeah. What's your chaser?
My chaser is another watch recommendation. The show Tires on Netflix. I'm sure everyone's seen it because on the first day it was number one on Netflix. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm sure you guys have probably all seen it, but it's Shane Gillis's new show, and my roommate and I watched the whole first season in about 2 hours, because only 20-minute episodes, and there's six of them.
Yeah.
So we just binge-watched the whole thing, and it's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Definitely not PC, though. If you don't, if you're PC, you probably won't like it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's really...
Yeah.
It's a little rough in some spots, but it's funny.
Yes, it is funny.
Yeah.
So I would recommend everyone go watch that if you want a good laugh.
Definitely.
Alrighty, well, I think that just about wraps us up. I enjoyed hearing that potentially fake story.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's probably fake. I mean,
I think it's probably fake too. And so when I started researching it, I was like, I don't know if I want to do a story that's blatantly fake. But then I started thinking about, it's bizarre for anyone to have done that. Like, what is the point?
Well, that, and like, you could call a lot of these bizarre stories fake, or they have like a description, but
exactly.
It's not exactly known that it's real or not, so
yeah,
leave it up to the imagination.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, love you, Mom.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye. Hey friends, thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.